February the 18th, 2021. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Miraj Sheikh, Block Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With Allah's name, the Merciful Benefactor, the Merciful Redeemer. As-salam alaykum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Elahi Bey. My topic this evening is Al-Islam, the tafsir of Imam Wafi bin Muhammad, commentary of the Holy Quran. If you have missed any of the talks, go online to www.blocktalkradiomirajspeaks.com and you'll be able to listen to the talks that you have missed. So once again, we will open with a short dua and then we will continue where we left off yesterday. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihil kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. The Quran Surah 35 Ayat 1, the originator. Let's look at the word in Arabic, futura. What letters are here? S-T-R. So we put a feminine ending on it. Now we have fitura. What comes first? Nature. What is nature? Fitra. So what is breakfast? Futura. Having the same basic letter. This fitura or futura has the Arabic word in it. Nature, there is a chapter in the Quran called Al-Fatir. What does it mean? The originator. How can we understand God as the originator? In the nature that was first made. If we say God is the originator, it is speaking to his role in bringing about creation for the first time in its first state. Arabic works on basic letters, F, heavy T, and F are basic letters. So we can have nature, break fast, and we can have originator from the same basic letter. So Fura is the most common name for lunch and noon. Noon is talking about the spiritual life. Nun is talking about the spiritual life. Let's go now to lunch. I don't do this for anybody but my good friends. Lunch has different names, but the most common name is Thura. This word actually means noontime. So we make salat, thura. That is an English word. And it connects with a word that the Catholics pronounce it, nun. It is pronounced noon, and what is it talking about? The same thing, a development in a certain aspect of human life. It is talking about the spiritual life, the spiritual development. Noon is mythology, and nun is the religion. I'm telling you this connects again with nun. They pronounce this noon in secret language. It is noon, nun. So this is not only referring to a time of the day, it is pronounced noon, and this noon should be pronounced nun, but it is not. So what does nun mean? This nun gets none of this world. They only want Jesus and the life to come. So this nun gets none of this world. Do you think I'm joking? Tell the learned people in theology what I'm telling you, and you will see I am not joking. You will see their faces when you start talking. You will know I must not have been joking. These people are serious. Tahira means the back of an animal. The sun arch, Tahira, means it appears. Thura means noonday, noontime. they change it a bit, the same letter, then it becomes something else. You just put dots here and there, it becomes Tahira. It means back, but it means the back of an animal, the part of the sun as it goes up from the horizon east up at the top. That arch, it makes like the back of an animal. It's called Tahira. Take another word. We just changed it a little bit. Tahira. That's Tahira. This means it appeared. Change it a little more. To Yusira. And it means it appears at the time of day. The sun is the highest in the sky. So the light is most profuse, broad, so the whole earth is given the maximum benefit of the light. So if you want the maximum of the light in a room, we raise the light higher so it casts spread in a wider area. So this form of the verb is a broadening of light. So what does it mean? It indicates a time in the intellectual abundance of knowledge. The knowledge is really high and it is spread far and wide. Juma prayer at Surah time, the light is highest. Supper time, when the light is gone, last supper. So this is why the Juma prayer is at the time, because it represents the time when the rising of the intellect or the rising of the cultural light, where the light is highest and it is spread the furthest. So this is also the meal. So what is the meal in this world, in this word supper? So what time of day is that? When the light is gone, you make your own connection. I don't have to say anything behind that. This world has a last supper. The last supper at a time when the light is not to be seen. And I bear witness that they sure didn't show us any light in America. So after through noon, the lunch, then comes the Isha. And we say Isha prayer. And the same word is for dinner, supper. These times in our life are connected with religious life. And the time for eating, being connected with religious life, tells us that somebody is thinking of connecting physical substances with spiritual substances. And whatever had the power to put spiritual language or our physical language must have been in better position of authority in the world than the physical people. If the physical people were in a position of authority, why didn't they put their physicalized language on all of these things? Can you see that the non-spiritual people haven't done anything? The religious people run everything, but they are two parties of the religious people. One party teaches the people out of the knowledge that God revealed, and the other party spreads that knowledge. The Quran, Surah 35, Ayah 3, sustenance feed from above and below. Blessing comes down and coming up. That's the way we should look at our life at home. Those that are standing tall over the little short ones that was just born a few years ago, blessings ought to be coming down. Adults, and we ought to be looking at blessings coming up. So the Quran, Surah 35, Ayah 12, we eat fish from both sweet and salt water. Water reflects. The soul, emotional nature, is a very serious body, a sensitive body, pardon me. The least little thing gets the response from it. C equals C, the water, K and let us see what near is or in its view. The reflection is better when it is still. Water reflects equal human desire, clarity. So the Quran, Surah 35, Ayat 12, eat fish from the two waters. The Quran, Surah 13, Ayat 4, one water rains down, yet grows different plants. The Quran, Surah 21, Ayat 30, all life is created from water. Electricus. Electricus 11:1, cast your brand on the water. You might say, you're giving it to us. You take the charge like that, the change like that. Yes, you can do no more than God has already created you to do. And man cannot withhold anything from man. God has created protection. We don't have protection. I can give you all of that, and you can't do a thing with it. But there are a few out there who can do something with it. The Quran says, see how God causes the rain to fall down on the same land, and the same things grow up beautiful and luxurious in their growth, and others come up niggerly like a nigger who didn't get a chance to go to school. Now, I know niggerly didn't come from Niger, nigger saying. The imam is confusing the two words. Niggerly comes from, this rule of nigger comes from the rule, please don't waste your time. If you follow me upon faith, you would have problems in the test of the following is always there. It is not how much knowledge you know or what college or university you attended. It is how much faith you got. That is the ultimate test. That is the final test. And if your faith is not good, even the education, what can you achieve here? Nothing. Faith is the beginning. The Quran says he created everything, living things, from water. So the Bible says, cast your brand upon the water, and it will return to you. Have faith in the people and trust your knowledge to those who are nothing but spiritual and constitution now. So they are not rationally constituted or logically structured. They are just like water. But that is the beginning of life for the mentality, for the mind. Trust your knowledge to them, and it will return to you. Look at the English. Trust your knowledge to the water, and it will return to you. It is a parable, isn't it? So we know that waves go out and come in, don't they? One time of the day, the waves go out, and the other time of the day, the waves come in. So those people who saw this and were aware of the water enough to know that you can cast something upon the water, and you just might find it on the shore in the morning. So when the waves came back in, it also says those who were trying to convert this particular audience, they knew that they were talking to the people who were selfishly motivated. They were dealing with a very selfish world, stingy and very selfish elite. They didn't want to share their knowledge with people, thinking that their knowledge would be given with no benefit to them directly. So those pious teachers were trying to convince the hard-hearted, selfish world to trust education to the masses of the people who are not logically structured, who are not students of higher knowledge. They are not materially constituted. They are not industrialists, etc. They are just spirit, wind, water. They are just spirituality. So trust, and that is the body of faith. So trust your knowledge to those common people who are established upon faith, and they are contained in the context of faith and spirituality. Trust them. Do you get the picture? Thank God. I'm drawing a beautiful picture. It is looking so good, I want to stop and just look at it for a while. They are trying to find ways into them so that their advance will be accepted. And thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they reached a lot of government heads, and they looked on this new knowledge, and they did accomplish a lot. The Quran, Surah 5, Ayat 103, most men know not. In Al-Islam, we don't go that way. We don't compromise. We are not trying to get the leaders of the world to accept what we have for personal advantage or political advantage. We give it to them straight, and they can accept it or reject it. We trust God and the Creator, that God has created people who will reject because they are not of His spirit, and He has created people who will accept. They are of His spirit. We will miss many, but we will get the few. In Quranic Arabic, it is wa akhiruhun la yakulin, wa akhiruhun la yakulin. Translated, it is, and most of them do not know. The great majority of them, they don't know. They don't have the knowledge. So the Quran, Surah 35, Ayah 12, eat fish from the two waters. Matthew 5:13. What good is the salt loses its savor? Are the sweet water on earth more than the salty water? No. There is much more ocean water than lakes and rivers, right? So the salty water bears us a lot of material. There are huge fish in the salty water, the water of wealthy and powerful. So that is the description of their spirituality. But you can't drink it, can you? I sure can't drink it. I will throw it up every time before it gets down. And just to think, a certain party of them was using salt until they had an interruption in their life by one who didn't believe in salt. He believed in kindness over salt. And he said, if the salt has lost its savor, throw it out. It is no more good. I'm bringing on a test for sweetness. The days of our salt is out, and it won't taste good in the mouth of humanity anymore. Praise be to Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Quran comes back and it says, in both bodies you find flesh tender, delectable, tasting, or tasted. What is it saying? Al-Islam brings in a new interpretation of ocean. Al-Islam does not see ocean as a spirituality of the rich or the spirituality of the material powerful. Al-Islam sees the ocean interpreting the message from God in the ocean is what it should be. It should have remained in the condition of the people of the book. Caution, salt is spirituality in the cautious intelligence. Sweet water is spirituality of or in a fun-loving mentality. Here are a people who have a spirituality and intelligence inside the body of the spirituality. A body is cautioning intelligence, and the spirituality in the body of the lake and river is a fun-loving mentality. So it loves life and having a good time, like the church. I visited one time. They sung so hard, they almost sung me through the walls. I went to the church, and they were jamming so hard, they almost blew me out of the congregation. They were having a good time. I don't dislike them. I love them because God created us to love happiness, to love joy, not sadness and misery. But you need the balance of the salt water. I guess that is why salt is on the tables all the time. You need some caution in your spirituality. And I notice a big fish by any names, he is not doing this in the water, jerking around, looking curiously. He's smooth. Mr. Farad came and he put the big fish in my water. Praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mr. Farad put the cautious spirit in the water of our faith, didn't he? Yes, he did. We have to give him credit. Without him, I wouldn't be where I am right now. And without the Honorable Elijah Muhammad around him for 3 years and taking what he left, and he stayed devoted to until brought about a big change in the black community. He brought the black community to stop being ashamed of their black color. The Quran, Surah 35, Ayah 12, eat fish from the two waters. So when mankind comes together with ourselves, not discriminating against people because of race and national origin or anything, what are we doing? We are registering the burden on the human soul. And we get the big salty, don't we? We say we have to organize and change things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves that too, in man's soul. That is why he says from the book, the sweet water and the salty water is delicious meat. So ocean fish, life moves about in a serious fashion. So this language is so beautiful when we free ourselves, as long as we are in the prison of our own narrow thinking. We cannot see the full beauty of God's revelation. But if we meet in the ocean of the soul of mankind, we can see it there. And those creatures, they move about in a serious fashion. You do not see living fish and whatever in an ocean moving about like they are going to a carnival or to a playground or something. They move around like serious business. Like they are seeking serious business, but those little playful fish, sweet water fish, they are just flapping around, about. But in that big ocean, the creatures are moving with cautious precision. You have seen them, haven't you? If you have not, go to the aquarium and you will see the difference in how they move. So fish straight in a tunnel, symbolic of preventing the intellect from distraction. Purpose brings unity to our life. As though in a channel, no, sunfish says salmon, when they go to spawn, they are in a definite direction. And they continue in that direction until they get. So what is it saying to us that there must be a higher purpose in the intellect of man to keep or to hold his intellectual vision where he does not lose it and have things distracting him and to bring unity to his life. Purpose brings unity to our life. So when you give yourself to a higher purpose, it serves to unify your intellect, where your intellect is not going this way and that way and every way. For a defined aim or purpose serves or serves the unity, or a better word is this expression would be integrity. It serves to bring about integrity for man when he has higher purpose. Integrity of conscience, where his mind has something to protect and advance his vision going forward, and his thoughts for his vision goes advance forward in harmony. So serve to unify or bring about integrity for man's intellect and consciousness. Integrity, man's wholeness. Integrity means wholeness, but it also means harmony, agreement, and a workable unity. And that is very important for a reproductive mind. It has to achieve a higher purpose, something that appeals to the mind, need for peace, harmony, and integrity. It means agreement and a defined focus. A person of integrity is a very strong person because something higher has formed order, has contributed to their mind coming to order and having a vision and a defined plan and a commitment to not violate the people or the principle for the plan. Stay moral, stay rational, stay focused, stay obedient to a higher call. That is what makes great people. So that is the intent in religion and scripture. It is not always respected in religion as expressed by preachers or leaders, but this is what scripture wants in man. You find a higher call that can bring about the best order for intellect, for his mind, and situate him as a thinker or a visionary to accomplish all that God created man to accomplish on this planet Earth. Prophet's mission is to purify you. Muhammad, the prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him, wanted to see all of us reach that when he said to his followers, "Meet me at the water pool." The language used is like a big bathtub. So that says that his mission was to bring us all together for a refreshing bath. In the Quran, it's pictured him as the unlettered prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him, mentioned in the book that came before, really mentioned in the Torah and the Gospel. And what is it mentioned? It purifies you and to free you from every yoke of bond of slavery. All that enslaved the mind, he came to free us from that, from it. So the Quran, Surah 35, Ayat 18, prayer purified. Bukhari, page 1, 345, prophet given 5 prayers. Why do we pray? Muslims pray because we feel that we owe it to Almighty God to thank him, to express obedience and submission to him. There are many more reasons than that. We pray also because we know that prayer helps us. It helps us mentally. It helps us morally. The Holy Quran says that prayer is best for purifying. It cleans the thoughts, it cleans the mind. We also pray because we feel that we should remember our God, and we should remember the benefit that we get from God, and acknowledge that those benefits come from Almighty God, whose proper name is Allah. Remember, Allah ties things together. The Quran, Surah 29, Ayah 45, remembrance of Allah is the greatest thing. The Holy Quran says, the remembrance of Allah is the best. It means that whatever you may think of doing that will help you, there is nothing that can help you more than the remembrance of Allah. Not that. That is enough within itself to just remember Allah and forget about it. We know that prayer, if it is not really lived, that if the face that you show, if it doesn't come out in your action, we know it was nothing. Someone just prays all the time. and does nothing. His prayers have no meaning. But if you pray and you are sincere in your prayers, and if you are really giving recognition to Almighty God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, this prayer is going to make you conscious of the things that you are neglecting to do in your own life. You may be neglecting your own wife. You may be neglecting your children. You may be neglecting the home. You may be neglecting your obligation to help the Muslim community. You might be neglecting yourself. So whatever it is that you are neglecting, if we remember to turn to Allah in prayer, and if we do this, conscious of what we are doing, it's going to improve us in every way. Allah connects us with our obligations. Because Allah is the only thing that will connect us with all of our obligations, if I put my heart on making a beautiful home for myself, that beautiful home is not going to connect me with all of my obligations. If I put my heart on being a successful business person or businessman, that's not going to connect me with all of my obligations. If I put my heart on being a good father to my children, even that won't connect me with all of my obligations. I might put my heart on being good to myself. That won't connect me with all of my obligations. But there is something, and that is Allah, that if we put our heart and minds consciously on him, through him, he will connect us with all of our obligations, because the Creator ties everything together in the proper way. Bukhari, page 1, 345, Prophet given 5 prayers. So this great man, Muhammad ibn Abdullah, may peace be upon him, they organized the prayer, and he set time. Now, other prophets had themselves the practice of praying in the morning, at night. Some are recorded in the Bible to have prayed in the midday. But the prophet Muhammad of Arabia, he established 5 times for prayer. He established them under divine inspiration. Pray 5 times like eat food 5 times. Now, if you think about it, today people eat 3 standard meals, right? So this is physical food. But most people believe now that they should have a little something in between breakfast and lunch, and a little something after the supper and before bedtime. So you see, the modern society has grown the required physical meal 5 times now. So you see, the divine eye saw ahead. He said, now, man, if you will feed your mouth 5 times and want to be regular with it, you are made if you don't get that breakfast on time. Why not feed your mind, which is more important than the physical body? Why not feed it 5 times? Then there are more than that. There is an importance that we should recognize. This physical food that is used to feed our body, now as Muslims, we know that we have received a mental, moral, and spiritual food through Al-Islam, through the Holy Quran. That food has made us and our human body healthy and strong. So if we thank each other for things like a loaf of bread, $5 or $10, how much more should we thank Allah, who has given us all of this wisdom that is more than $5 and $10 for a good meal of food for our higher body? Then some people say, why should we pray every day, 1 time a week? Why isn't it once a week? Come out Sunday and thank God. Why isn't that enough? Well, this is Christian attitude. If you do a favor every day, I expect for you to show some recognition every day. Now, Allah is doing for us every day, every minute, and every second of the day. So why should we just have a weekend thing? We should feel gratitude. We should feel that we should say thank you every day. This way, in respecting Allah and giving Him thanks, regular every day, and as many times during the day, we are showing the world that God is in our life is more important than anything else. But those people who won't interrupt their play for God, won't interrupt their work for God, beneath their own personal little thing. So when you go to the East, you see what rules in the East in the Muslim land. It's not the factory. It's not the dollar maker. The people rise up in the morning, and the first thing they rise up is for Allah, before the sun hits the horizon. Soon as a little light shows itself in the east, they rise up for Allah. Then after they rise up for Allah and get their little something to eat and clean up, then they go to work. See, this keeps your life in proper proportion, proper balance. It keeps your life healthy, and it keeps you healthy-minded. Habits in the West to kill spiritual nature. But the habits that we have over here in the West is designed to kill your spiritual nature. The first thing you do in the morning is you got to rise up for the man, for yourself too. You make a dollar for him and a dollar for you, right? Or maybe $10 for him and $2 for you, if you rise up for the man. You rise up in the morning and you got the job on your mind. You're rushing because you don't want to be a few minutes late for the man. You see how important a man becomes in your life? You count your little money at the end of the week. Allah is your real life. So everything becomes more important than your real life, and that is Allah. Allah is called one of His names is Al-Hayy, which means the life. Without that life, we don't have any life. We're just around here, moving. Got blood in it, but it is nothing but earth. Earth with no sense. Earth has natural sense. You don't catch the earth doing any crazy thing, but you let a human become earth, and you got some crazy earth on your hands. Now, we want to look at something else. And this is, we're talking about how man food has become a regular thing, 5 meals, people eat, and don't think it's too much. Some of them are taking snacks between the 5 meals. So to get all ugly and just can't break the habit. Work, exercise more than 40 weekly. Our work has become such an experience in the family life that we really work too much and work against themselves and the family. But you have to do it to make ends meet. Many of us work 16 hours. Some work 12 hours. Some work 8 hours. But even 8 hours has become too much. You work 8 hours, and you don't have time for your wife. You don't have time for your children. You don't have time for your mental development. You don't have time for anything but work. So the Quran, Surah 35, Ayat 18, none bears burden of another. Racism, color is from the material environment. Race, where 3 blacks, brown, and red, and white. The Quran, Surah 35, Ayat 27, see color in the mountains. The Quran, Surah 49, Ayat 13, God made you different to know one another. Al-Hadith, page 1, 490, and 167W, no superiority of black and red. So you will find these enemies of Islam, and they are amongst us too, if they don't think they can say it directly to you and cause a serious problem or be seen reporting their hint, their breath. It means influence. They put their influence out, the breath, what they want to say, without vocalizing it with words. Why do you want to follow the Arabs or an Arab? Why do you want to follow a white man? Referring to Prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him. Nobody makes themselves white or black. Where they were born makes them white or black. If they are born in an area deprived of sunlight or direct sunlight, and their parents lived in that area for generations going back for thousands of years and maybe a million years, they are white. Their eyes are weak. The color of their eyes is light, gray, blue. It has nothing to do with their heart or with their brain or their intelligence. It has nothing to do with anything except what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said. We get our color from the sun. I heard the Honorable Elijah Muhammad say that, preaching, not whispering to anybody. He was right. This science, and it is in the Quran. If you understand it, it lets us know color is a product of the natural environment, the material environment. The Quran puts down this color consciousness that wants to make one people superior to another. Although the Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, addressed it in his final farewell speech. He speaks of the organic things that grow out of the earth, about the variety of color. But it also speaks of color in stones and rocks. And it says in the top of the mountain, which is revelation for the wise in scripture, or those guided by God. The color of the rock in the mountain, you see, stones come white, red, and it mentioned black. And really people of that time, medieval time, and ancient time, they thought the races should be of three colors. Or they made the races three colors, black, brown, and red. So white people were called red in the time of Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him. They weren't called white European people. They were called red. Why? Because they are affected by the sun like that. The sun makes them red. So they are called red people. The sun makes skin black. So Africans or Africa and people are called black. You had black, red, and brown. And those colors are said to be in the mountains, but also white. The pursuit of white, it says, and the pursuit of black, that is called raven black. If you ever seen a raven bird, black feathers, in the sun, it is a beautiful black. It says those colors are in the mountains. What was Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, saying to the wise in that language? He was saying to them, see the signs of God that he has put in the mountains, the logic, the intelligence of the black man, the logic of the European man, and the logic of the Asian man. He put the signs of all of their intelligence of their people in the mountains, that they ascend the mountain. That means they go to the highest level in the world. Dr. King said, I have been to the mountaintop. And I believe he did reach the mountaintop for intelligence and vision in this world. Also, Moses went up to the mountain, didn't he? And Muhammad went up to the mountain. So if you understand what I'm giving you right now about the mountain and about color prejudice, you will accept as I have accepted that God in creation supports the fact that all people are given the same intelligence and they all can ascend to the same height. Full color, black, white, protection. The Quran, Surah 2, Ayat 138, God, baptism. The Quran, Surah 35, Ayat 28, color, man, animal, protect. So I said to myself once, I said, black is a protection. It hides, and I noticed the vital points on certain animals were black. So I said those vital points are made black for the protection of that animal so that the attacking animal will go to the part that shows bright, that bright part, and attack that part and will miss the vital organ, the vital pieces, the vital organs. A dog's nose is black, right? And that's a vulnerable spot on a dog. I said to myself, well, white is a protection. They are made white so that the attacking animal, the animal that will prey on them, won't detect them so easily. Then my mind came to the chameleon, that little creature that God made, that will take on the color of any color that he's near or in. I said to myself, all of these colors are protection. And then I recall God saying in our holy book, and I heard Imam Pakistani, they like to say that sajjatullaha, or color, our coloring, is the coloring of God. Our coloring is the coloring of God. So the Quran, Surah 36, Ayat 36, he created worlds you know not. Glory to Allah who created and passed all things that earth produces as well as those own humankind and other things of which they have no knowledge. So Allah said to Prophet Muhammad 1400 years ago, he said that there are worlds that you know and worlds that you don't know. In that time, the people had to believe Prophet Muhammad. There was no evidence. Microbiological had not been discovered. There was a whole world of living creatures that they did not know anything about. That is the world of microscopic creatures. The biologic, the life, we call the study biologic. These microscopic creatures, we cannot see them with our eyes. Can we see the germs in natural water? No. So when you took the microscope and put a drop of creek water on the side, on the slide, microscopic slide, then take the microscope and look down there, you will see things crawling. You will see animals. So here man, after that revelation, discovered a whole world of animals. Allah said that there are worlds that you know not. Meaning that, no, you can't verify this. I'm telling you that you can't verify it. You don't know. There are worlds that you know and worlds that you know not. And that has come through for us in so many ways. The world of microscopic animals that have been discovered. There's worlds of atomic energy that has been discovered. Radiation and all. Things were not discovered back then. Even America, we had a whole physical part of the world that was unknown to those people at that time. It had been discovered, but nobody knew it. It was forgotten. Nobody kept a record of it. So the Quran predicts there are unseen worlds. So the Quran, Surah 36, Ayat 36, they are worlds you know and know not. Bukhari, page 9, 134. Milk from the Prophet's finger. Science, true science, could not have been discovered not even the interest to go after it, if not for God. God says in the Quran, there are worlds that God made, that you see and worlds that you see not. The Quran even says that there were invisible worlds at that time. Man did not know that there was the invisible world of bacteria, microscopics. It had not been discovered. But later, man found a whole other world of living things, microscopic life and organisms. It was not discovered before the Quran. Check your history. Check your records. So when this came to Muhammad, peace be upon him, about creation, it said, read in the name of your Lord who created. That means who made all things, you included. Don't forget how I started this. I said the native Indian believed that everything made has a message for man's intelligence. Put it all together. Do not let it slip out of place. Keep it all together. Thank God. Also in the Quran, God says everything you see embodies knowledge. Everything seen or knowledgeable embodies a knowledge and a science, the ilma. You ask any Arab, what is ilma? He will say science. Right now, it might be a native-born Arabic-speaking person in the audience. Sometimes they are when I speak. If there are any native-born Arabic speakers, persons, and Arabic is your language, you were born with and stand up so I can see you if you are here. There are none here today. Too bad, fellas. You are missing a lot. Ilma is science. Everything embodies a science, higher knowledge, and ilma. In the time of Prophet, in the time of Muhammad, the Prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him, we did not have all of these sciences of the human life. But now you have science of the blood, science of the skin, and even different parts of the skin, science of the hair, science of the eyes, and the different parts of the human eye. Science of everything, we have it now. It was said long before it was ever known by man in the Quran. And it is still there 1,400 years and some years old, where God says in Arabic, وَسَّكُولِ لَشَيْرٍ رَقْمَةٍ وَإِلْمًا وَسَّكُولِ لَشَيْرٍ رَقْمَةٍ وَإِلْمًا. You will find it just like that in the Quran, translated that he has caused everything to be extended, expanded, and to embody a knowledge, a science. So Muhammad, the Prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him, have associated his dream with science. He had a dream, and he told his people. His dream, he said, I had a dream, and in this dream, milk was oozing out of milk was oozing out of bones. And he said, what is the meaning of that dream? Is science ill? Now, in our time, we know that calcium is needed if you're going to have bones. And calcium is also in the milk. And you have to drink milk to get your calcium in order to develop your bones. And the human body is a good way. Allah creation upon duality. The Quran, Surah 36, Ayah 36. Allah created all things in pairs. The Quran, Surah 11, Ayah, pardon me, the Quran, Surah 112, Ayah 2. Allah is eternal. The Quran, Surah 7, Ayah 7. Allah is never absent. The Quran, Surah 6, Ayah 14. Allah, you feed not. So most adults think about what to do, what they do not have. The courage of a child to say it, We believe that everything has to come from something, whatever it is, because that's our life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses that situation for us that makes us have difficulty understanding this. He addresses it when he says he created everything that exists. It operates upon a duality. That means it has two exists. It has two, your thinking has to have something to think about. Your thoughts, your mind has to have something to think about. You cannot operate without something else. So you have to have two. Human, like all life, can't operate except on a duality. Some life has to have four, but humans is on a duality, and many other lives on a duality, even in the inanimate world. Negative and positive makes it possible for their function. God says, I'm alone in my identity, in my uniqueness. I operate as one alone. We say everything has to come from something, so how can God exist and come from nothing? He doesn't come at all. He has never been absent. He has no beginning, as the old ministers used to say, and no ending. That's God. He has always been. Now, what makes it hard for us to understand that is because we are human, and we know we can't be always. We can't live always. We can't be before creation, and we have to feed on something. God says, I don't need you to feed me. I don't feed on anything. I don't sleep. I don't need sleep. I don't need rest. I'll tell you something. Isn't there space in here and outside? Where does it end? Is there some wall out there in the sky somewhere where it stops? If it is, the wall is occupying space. And on the other side of the wall is space. Now that is enough for us to think about. Regulatory dependability. The Quran, Surah 36, Ayah 38. Sun is on a computed, regulated course. Allah is a worker. The Quran, Surah 55, Ayah 29. Allah works daily. The Quran, Surah 39, Ayah 39. You work in your place, I work in my place. Say, O my people, do whatever you can. I will do my part, but soon you will know. Your nature teaches you regularity. Regularity. And God in his Quran and verses of scripture points to the nature within and the nature without. In the outer world, he shows us how the world is regular. The sun rises in the morning and sets at night. The season comes spring, summer, fall, and winter. Things follow in a defined pattern, and they come regularly. Who is more faithful than the sun? Or it rises every morning and sets every night. The clouds may come up and block out the light. But we might think that maybe the sun didn't come up all the way up this morning. But one day we see the clouds push back before our eyes. And the sun is in its place on time. Don't lose any time. It's in its place. Soul, clock, eternal is most important. So maybe you know I don't have to get up this morning. There's no clock to punch. Yes, there is. There is a clock to punch in your house more important than any clock you can punch out there in the streets. That's your baby, your son, your daughters. They are looking at you. They say, I get up before him I'm going to school, and I'm on my job studying, and he's in the bed asleep. No, from now on, let us not let that happen. If you don't have a job to do, and you accept that in your life, I'm unemployed, I don't have a job to go to. If you accept that, from that moment on, you start to deteriorate. And you are going to deteriorate and deteriorate by degree. And pretty soon you are going to find that you are useless. Useless. You don't have to have a job to go to. Self-job, millions, acres, cultivate. The Quran, Surah 28, Ayah 77, seek the hereafter, don't forget share in the world. So life is a job, and the first most important job is life. You have your life to live and protect. You have your life to cultivate. You have your life, your wife to help, your children to cultivate, your children to bring up. You have a job. Say, well, I'm a bachelor, brother. You have a job. If you are one man, you've got about 1 million acres of human land to cultivate your body. Your own body is equal to 1 million acres of the best land on earth. 100 acres of land, 1 million acres of land on the best land on this earth is not as valuable as your body. So don't think that you are poor. You are rich. A bachelor with no job, no wife, no girlfriend, no brother, no sister, no mother, no father, alone in the world, no friend. That bachelor, he's rich if he just wakes up to the fact that he has a wealth within himself. Cultivate it. Watch over it. Develop it. Come to the masjid on Sunday. Feed your mind. Feed your heart. Feed your spirit. Come to the khutbah. Cultivate your life. Surely Allah speaks the truth. I'm your host, Elihu Bey. I thank New Africa Excellent Enterprise, Marat Speaks, for allowing us to come before you once again. And we thank you. We will continue this next week at 7 p.m. on Wednesday and 7 p.m. on Thursday. Inshallah, it only means if it please God. Tomorrow is our beloved brother, Imam Musa Abui. He is the grandson of the late Dr. Booker T. Washington. He's a scholar, and he has books out. So if you want to hear a great intellect, turn on our beloved brother, Imam Musa, tomorrow at 7 p.m. Thank you. May God guide us and have mercy on us. And we thank you, our beloved audience. May God have mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding. As I greet you in the Arabic language, As-salamu alaykum, peace be unto you, and thank you for listening.